Welcome to the Words of Life with God's servant, Pastor Obed Joy Obin. Get set for a life-transforming word right from the ovens of heaven.
We've been talking about catching the revival fire for this whole month, and I'm trusting God to continue even in next month as well. Praise the Lord. We've come to the point where we've realized that in the midst of the year, God revive his works. He says, revive thy works, O God. In the midst of the year, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 2. So one thing that we know by the prayer of Habakkuk is that God has something we call in the midst of the year. God does something. And what he does is to revive his work. And we are his workmanship. Psalm 100 says that he made us. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, God will not revive anything than the one that he has created. The one that he has made in his own image and his own likeness. God loves you so much that he doesn't want to throw you away. Irrespective of your deadness, your disconnection, and the things that have even gone wrong with you, he's still mindful of you. He said that who is man that you are mindful of? The son of man that thou thinketh of. Hallelujah. In this season of revival, it is a time of visitation. The one that God visits, praise the Lord. And therefore, I want you to understand that this season is your season of visitation. And whenever God visits, he visits in his glory. He visits in his splendor. He visits in his power. And everyone is able to see it, and their lives are changed for the better. This season, expect your own visitation. Even in the midst of the year, in the name of Jesus Christ, if you are the one, shout a big amen. Amen. We have also taken note of the fact that nothing revives like fire. God is a consuming fire. In his dealing with his people, one way by his he shows up is fire. His encounter with Moses was an encounter of fire. After Moses encountered the fire of God, things were never the same. His perspective, how he saw himself, his weakness was no longer a weakness because he has encountered the fire of God. Every encounter of God primarily comes by way of fire. Praise the Lord. God shows up in his fire. And the Bible says he has made his ministers flames of fire. Flames of fire. Every child of God is expected to be on fire. You are expected to have the fire of the Holy Ghost permeate through your life. Therefore, in his introduction to us, John the Baptist said, there is one coming after me whose shoes I'm unworthy to even untie. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Therefore, Jesus, from the perspective of John the Baptist, came as a baptizer of fire. So he told his disciples, tarry in Jerusalem until ye are endued with power from on high. And when that power came, one thing was evident. Fire fell upon their heads. And their lives were never the same. Peter, one of the chief disciples, who had earlier on betrayed Jesus, his master, now stood up with all confidence and with all boldness and said, this same Jesus whom you crucified, he has empowered us to preach the gospel. That day, 3,000 men stood up and said, men and brethren, what shall we do? It is my prayer. The fire of God will give you such boldness in life that nothing can stop you. It makes you audacious. The Bible says that the righteous shall be as bold as lions. The fire of God refines your destiny. It takes away the debris of your life. It purges you from all unrighteousness. He said that the sons of Levi shall be purged. Shall be purged. Shall be refined by fire as silver and gold is refined. And they shall offer unto me sacrifices of righteousness. So therefore, the fire of God is what positions us in our service, in our worship, in our fellowship with God. God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. You must be in tandem with God in order to flow with him. You must be in connection with God in order to flow with him. You can't be lukewarm and still expect the flow of God's fire within you. What a blessing. Last week, I remember very well that we said that fire or revival fire is a state of spiritual renewal. Praise the Lord. It is a state of what? What do I mean by spiritual renewal? When you are being renewed in your spirit with your connectivity and with your relationship and fellowship with God. Spiritual renewal is when you are coming back to your senses of who you are in Christ. It is a point whereby your attention, your focus, your life is submerged. Your soul is consumed by the Spirit of God. It is the moment where you are yielded totally, surrendered unto him. It is a time where it is not yourself that is dictating for you. It is not the flesh that speaks to you, but the Spirit of God. It is a time where you are consumed in his fire. Your thoughts are consumed. Your focus are consumed. Every aspect of your intellect is consumed. It is a time that you don't listen to the self, but you listen to him. It is a time where your life is totally surrendered to him. That is the time of your renewal. When sin has no dominion over your life, and you are able to stand tall in the presence of God and be able to command the things that he has asked you to command. Somebody this morning, you are not living here the same. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost begin to run through your life. Receive the fire of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. When that fire comes, you'll be able to command territories, or you become territorial dominioner, which means that you begin to possess territories. You begin to take over areas. You begin to take over places. You begin to take over certain things that God has made available to you. We all remember in 1 Kings chapter number 18 how a man called Elijah was a man of fire. A man who single-handedly was able to stand at that material moment when everybody, the verse number 22, makes us to understand that he thought even at that time that he was alone, the only prophet of God in the land. And the Bible says that, and then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal prophet are 450 men. So one man stood against 450 men. You can imagine. And the Bible says that there was a context that was the time when the nation was in apostasy. The nation had rejected God. They have actually turned against God. But then the Bible makes us to understand that one day the prophet of God, a man on fire, stood on the altar and declared that this day Jehovah must be worshipped. And the people said no. Then he said that then if you want your God to be worshipped, then I just want you to pray so that your God will bring fire from heaven. The Bible says that they did it many times and there was no fire. But this man, a man on fire, stood before the altar. He even asked them to put more water on the altar. Perchance they might think that somebody has sparked some water beneath the altar. And as many as they poured the water, the Bible says that after he has raised the altar with 12 stones, which represent the foundation of God right here on earth with the 12 tribes of Israel and the complete government of God and the agreement here on earth, the Bible says that he prayed and there was fire. And the Bible says that after which he stood and killed over 450 Baal prophets. A man on fire. Somebody, I decree that fire will make you audacious. Fire will cause you to take territories. You will conquer. You will fight the enemy. And you will destroy the enemy. In the name of Jesus Christ, the fire of the Holy Ghost will give you an edge over your enemies. Come on now. I wish I'm praying for somebody. I said the fire of God will give you an edge over your enemies. It is that which gives you the power to be able to stop the old order and be able to welcome the new order in your life. There are two challenges of life. There are two things we face in life. Our inability to stop the things that happen to us. And the fact that we are not able to do the things that we are supposed to do. But when the fire of God comes, the things that comes at you that you have no control will be stopped. And you will be able to do the things that you would want to do in life. I pray that let the fire bring a demarcation. Let the old order stop. The things that have brought you shame and disappointment, let them come to an end in your life. And I pray that let there be a new order. A new order in your life. I speak of your new order. By the fire of the Holy Ghost, you determine what should come into your life and not what should come into your life. By the fire of God, you are not there to accept anything but that which God has decreed over your life. That is why they would fight you, but it will not come to pass. They will wage war against you, but it will not stand. They will conspire against you, but the Lord will shatter them. That is why no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But every tayaka, every word that comes from your mouth, it shall prevail. This is your heritage because fire is running through your life. Shout out, catching the fire. I sense in my spirit that this week will be the week where somebody, the old order will end. And the new order is taking place. That which you don't like, that which you are not happy about, the things in your life you are not happy about, I see them ending this week. And I see new things taking place. Somebody shout, I catch the fire. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost be caught up in your spirit. 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 Irrespective of these, I want you to understand that as we started last week, one thing is very important. When the fire of God or the revival fire comes in your life, it is important that one of the things that shows up is your love quotient. Say my love quotient. My love cushion. The reason why you and I need the fire of the Holy Ghost is the Bible says that in the last days, many people's love was cold. Matthew 24, verse number 12. Our love for God is the greatest target of the last days. It is the greatest target for the devil and for the enemy. Our love for God. I told you last week that the devil doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your car. He doesn't need your marriage. But he would attack you just because you are in love with God. And the more he attacks those things, then he will want to permeate through our love for God. Our love for God. And those who are not fully grounded and deeply rooted in the things of God, when they see that the enemy is buffeting them from left to right, when they see that things are not going well, then their love for God begins to wax cold. But we stand in the name of Jesus Christ that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Come on, I'm prophesying. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. The devil knows that the love of God is what gives us access to the things of God. For the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2:9, no eyes have seen, nor ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of any man the things that God has in store for them that love him. Your access, tell somebody my access to the things of God is by reason of my love. Let me tell you something. When the devil wants to deny you of anything from God, he will attack your love for God. He will attack your love for God. Once your love for God is attacked, then the passage of God's flow, of his blessings, of his grace, of that which God wants to do in your life also automatically blocks. Is somebody here with me? And by the love of God, God also turns all things to work together for our good. By the love of God, the Bible says that he maketh all things to work for my good. Good. It doesn't matter what I'm going through or what is happening around me. Both the good, the bad, the ugly, the beauty, everything that is happening will work for my good. Sometimes the devil may think that he has gotten me. He has got the best part of the chunk. The devil may think that he has already won the battle. But little does he know that it is working for my good. Because of my love for God, the shame will work out for my good. The disappointment will work out for my good. The distraction will work out for my good. All the devices, the issues that are happening will work for my good. If you are the one I'm speaking to, shout, is working for my good. Oh, I may be going through something, but it's working for my good. Because by the love of God in my spirit, nothing goes bad. Nothing goes bad. When we think we have lost it, that is where he showed up. When we think that it's not working, that is where he shows up. When we think we have failed, that is where he comes through for us. But who shall lay a charge? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Somebody, I want you to understand that your shame is working for your good. Because of your love for God. And I want you to understand that you cannot love God the best way if you have not received his love. Many are forcing themselves. Many are trying to love God. You can only love God better when you have received his love. Hi, are you with me? For the Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. I pray that the Holy Spirit will bring the fire that was what stir the love of God within your spirit. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The Holy Spirit will bring the fire that will stir up the love of God in your spirit, whereby you cannot be stopped in any way, whereby you cannot be denied anywhere, whereby you cannot lose anyway. Because whatever may be happening around you is for your good. In fact, it's good that it happened. Because had it not been the things that happened in your life, you wouldn't have experienced the love of God. Somebody shout, I am loved by God. Oh, I am loved by God. Yet the love of God is being made perfect in your spirit. Oh, your amen is weak. I said the love of God is being made perfect in your spirit. It is that which gives us triumphs. It is that which gives us triumph. It is that which gives us triumph. It is that which gives us triumph. The love of God gives you triumph. When the revival fire is stirred in your spirit, love is shown. And when the love is shown, you are able to triumph over all the forces of the enemy. Romans 8:35 say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, as it is written, verse 36, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I want you to understand that your never failing life comes through the love of God. Your never failing life comes through the love of God. 2 Corinthians 4:8 said that we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted and not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I want you to understand that the good news that you are expecting will not elude you. Because your challenges are overcomable, your battles are conquerable. Ah, yeah, but oh my God, and your wars are winnable. Shout, I am the one that he has loved. But one thing is evident when you say you love God, every love of God is shown in your zeal. Every love of God, in fact, the zeal that you have in your spirit determines how much your love for God is. God's love at work in a man's life manifest on your zeal. Your zeal. Tell somebody your zeal. What is zeal? It is that inner force that propels an outward accomplishment. It is that inner force, something that you cannot really define. But we call it the Holy Ghost power and the Holy Ghost fire. It is within you. Sometimes it's difficult to explain it to people how you are feeling and the kind of bubblings in your spirit and the kind of burden that you have in your spirit to do something for God, to move for God. It is that inner force that propels an outward accomplishment. That inner force that makes you do something for God. It makes you do something for God. If you don't have zeal, if you are low in zeal, then it is possible you are low in love. Because everyone that carries the revival fire carries the love of God. And one thing is evident, the platform of which we see God's love is in your zeal. Tell somebody, in my zeal. Oh, shout to another person, in my zeal. So simply put, zeal is that spiritual impetus. Zeal actually means is to be on fire or to carry some burden. Zeal is to be on fire or to carry some burden. So when we say that you are on zeal, it means that there is a love of God propelling within your spirit that makes you do things for God. And for that matter, you carry the fire of the Holy Ghost. May somebody come on zeal this morning. Oh my God. I said, may you come on zeal this morning. John 2:17, it was spoke of Jesus Christ. when he had become so radical in the house of God and buffeting people here and there, overturning their tables and driving them and casting them out from their position, some who were much older than him, and some who were stronger than him, and some who were more powerful than him, even in the temple. Jesus was not the most powerful. He was not the oldest. He was not the biggest man on the scene. He was not the priest at that time in that particular temple. He was not the overseer. He was just a commoner who has just entered the house of God and has seen some discrepancies and some things which are not so good happening in the house of God. They have turned the place into a marketplace. It has become a den of thieves, a den of thieves. People were stealing in the house of God. They were actually trying to take from men and dupe them and use the money for themselves instead for the things of God. And Jesus saw all these wrong things that were being done in the temple. And the Bible says that he began to overturn their tables. He began to overturn, drive them. He actually got a cane and started whipping them. You, what are you doing here? Why have you turned my father's house into a den of thieves? What kind of life this is? This is not expected. This must not be done in my father's house. Stop all this kind of nonsense in my father's house. The Bible says that the disciples stood there watching and looking at him in an amazement. They were shocked with what he was doing. Then they remembered that it was written of him that the zeal of his house has consumed him. Therefore, leave him. Leave him. Your love for God would not see you seeing wrong things, bad things happening in the house of God and not do anything about it. Your love for God will not see the house of God empty, being full of thieves and dead people who have come to destroy the work of God. You would do something about it. You would, if only you love God, you will not sit on the fence. You would do something about it. Something within you, when you carry the fire of God, actually abhors anything that is not in order. Come on now. Anything within that is not in order, your spirit will abhor. Your spirit would reject anything that is not good and right in the house of God. The zeal of his house has consumed him. I pray for somebody today. May the zeal of his house consume you. Do you know that? Remember, it was quoted already in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7. Isaiah chapter 9, concerning the prophecy of Jesus Christ. That is where it was said that the zeal of his house, he said, and of his increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. Now he said, there. Oh, come on now. Talk back to me. There. Of the Lord of hosts will perform. Is somebody here with me? So they remembered the scripture and they said, leave him, because something is within him that is not good for what is happening. When you carry the fire, you carry zeal that abhors anything evil, abhors anything destructive, abhors anything that doesn't bring tea and foster love in the house of God. I pray for you. May you catch the fire this morning. Oh my God. Tell somebody, catch the fire. Tell another person, catch the fire. Praise the Lord. Quickly, I just want to sum up, because I don't have my time on my sleeve. I just want to sum up, what is the proof that you love God? Quickly, what is the proof that you love God? What is the proof that you love God? What is the proof that you love God? As I've already said, you will love his house. You will love his house. You will love his house. you will love the house of God. If you love God, it is not a secret thing. It is not a secret thing. It is not like, oh, I love God in my heart. Love must be expressed. If our love is shown, love is shown. You can't tell me you love somebody and not do anything to show the love. Are you with me? When you love somebody, your love must be what? Expressed. It must be shown. People must see that you really love. Are you with me? You cannot just use your mouth to say, I love God, but no action backing it. Any love that does not have action backing it is a fake love. Can I talk to people here? No, your ears is so low. Am I really telling you something you know? Yes, any love that does not have action backing it is a fake love. And that thing must not be seen as love. Therefore, if we love God, the one of the things that will show is that we will love his house. Number one, coming to the house of God will not be a burden. Coming to the house of God will not be a burden. You don't need to be reminded before you come to the house of God. That is so important. You don't need to be remembered. You don't need to be, purged up. You don't need to be pepped up. You don't need to be encouraged to come into the house of no. No, that is somebody who is not on fire. Is somebody here with me? You don't need somebody to give you a call that Sunday is coming and we are going to church. No, you are not yet arrived. You don't carry the fire. Praise the Lord. David said that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. In fact, he was in anticipation of going into the house of the Lord. Therefore, the invitation was so great, an invitation. It was not necessarily that somebody had to pull him, but he was excited that to be in the house of God is 10 times more than to be at any place. He said, even a sparrow has found a nest in the house of God. An animal can find comfort in the house of God. How much more the people he has made with his own hands. I want you to understand that the best way your love is shown is when you love his house. Love his house. Say, I love the house of God. Loving the house of God is not just coming to sit in the house of God. It's not just coming, but then your attitude in the house of God is so important. And number one thing I want to talk about is your promptness and your punctuality. Say, my promptness. Okay, so let me hear you. Say, my promptness and my punctuality. Do you know that it is an error of the highest pedigree, and it is a curse in disguise? Listen, there are some things you bring curses upon yourself without knowing. You call on some disfavor. Let me put it there. I think curse is a big word. But you bring some disfavor to yourself when you do. And one of them is to come to church late. Trust me. One of them is to come to church late. Listen, how many of you have been to events, great events that has dignitaries and important people coming and all that? For example, an event where you see the president or Asantehene coming. Before Asantehene will come, all must be seated. All must be ready and seated before he comes. So at the end of the day, he should be the last person to enter in. And once he enters, nobody is allowed to come in again. Why? So that you don't distract the meeting. Are you here with me? Now, this is human protocol. And I believe that it is not just human protocol. It is a natural principle that is ordained by God. Are you understanding me? Why? Because whenever we come in first, we give honor to the one we are waiting for. How come you want God to come and wait for you before you step here? And this becomes a dishonor. And anytime you dishonor God, you attract disfavor. Oh, come on. He said he will favor the righteous and he will encompass him as a shield. There are things you do that are unrighteous. In other words, you make God unrighteous. Are you with me? It's not you, because you are unrighteous, you also make God unrighteous. For example, when you dishonor God, you make him unrighteous. Are you understanding me? The Bible says if we fail to confess our sins, we make him unrighteous. But he that is righteous is able to forgive us. So whenever we say we are not sinning, what we are saying is that we make God a liar. In the same way that when we don't honor God, we actually make him unrighteous. You say that, God, you are not worthy for my time and my presence. Are you here with me? What you're saying is that you don't qualify for my time. I don't give you the needed honor that I... Listen, if we as humans as we are, and as we are gathered here, even to the simplest explanation, when the Santini decides to come here, we have important people to come here in our auditorium, all we need to do to honor them is to be seated before they come. How much more God? Sometimes we take these things for granted, and that become a form of disfavor. Let me tell you something. You don't pray for favor, you attract favor. Trust me. There are things you do that makes you attract favor. And one of them is your honor that you give to God. Let me tell you, my experience in Nigeria will never leave my memory. It will never leave my memory. To be frank with you, we are not talking about just 1,000 or 10,000 or 20,000 of people. By the time, 30 minutes to the time the program starts, an auditorium of 100,000 people is already full. 30 minutes. I'm telling you. And you see people running even 30 minutes. Because if you don't get there early, you might sit outside. No matter who you are, whether you are a pastor or whoever, you will not find a place to sit. 30 minutes. And you can see the honor that people give to God. Why do we expect God to come and wait for us? Are we serious? It doesn't show that we love him. It doesn't show that we honor him. If you love him, let me tell you something. I've always used that and you know it. Nobody will ever play with his or her time when they have asked you to come for the embassy, Canadian embassy, UK embassy, or whatever embassy for your visa at 8 o'clock. Nobody will sleep till 10 o'clock. So how much do you do this to God? And you think that when for God it's normal. You just attracted this favor. You just attracted this favor. Because he always encompasses the righteous. In other words, those who make him righteous, God will encompass them with his favor. Is somebody here with me? My time is almost up, but I want you to understand that we love God with our punctuality when we love his house. When you love somebody, you always want to come and see the person. You always want to be in the presence of the person. Let me tell you something. When you love somebody, you always want to be around there. Those of you who are in love, you know what I'm talking about. When the person is not there, you feel jittery. When the person is not there, you are worried. You are thinking, oh, where are you? A whole lot of calls goes around. All because the person is not with you. What is your connection with God that makes you feel absent when you are not in his presence? Is somebody here with me? That is the kind of fire the Holy Ghost is bringing to you right now. That the love of God will be stirred in your heart. So that you will love his house. Tell somebody, love his house. Oh, come on, that was weak. Come on, shout it one more time. Again, if you love God, one of the things that will show is that you will love the brethren. You will love the brethren. Look at somebody, say, love the brethren. Who are the brethren? The brethren are those seated here in this house. those who are in church, those who are members of the household of faith, those that have been called by the same blood, those that have been saved by the same grace, those that have been delivered by the same hand, those, the same grace that saved you is what saved me. The same blood that brought you free is the same blood that actually brought me free. So why do you discriminate? The same blood that forgave you of all your numerous sins is the same blood that has forgiven me. So why can't you forgive? I want you to understand that the worst place that you can find, disgruntledness, you can find disappointment where people are fighting and attacking one another, where there's backbiting and where there is all kinds of insanity is in the church. Where people speak ill of another, where people want to make others low and bring people down as if they are better saved than, oh my God, I want you to understand that there is nobody here that is better saved. Are you with me? We are all saved by grace. Can I talk to somebody here? The fact that we are saved by grace means that we must extend grace to one another. We must extend grace to one another. When somebody hurts us, we must have the heart to let go of it. When somebody doesn't speak well of us, it doesn't mean they hate us. But somewhere, somehow, we are all work in progress. I told you the other time that the church is not a hotel. The church is a hospital. Tell somebody the church is a hospital. Come on, tap somebody on your shoulder and say, Pastor, say the church is a hospital. Come on, now push it. The church is a hospital. Where there are all kinds of sick people. There are some with mental illness. There are some with stomach pain. There are some with feet limbs. In fact, they walk like that. Can I have people here? There are some with all kinds of issues. People come here to get healed and to get recovery. Why do you worsen their plight? When people are sick and they come to church, they expect some kind of comfort. They expect some kind of healing. They expect some kind of love. But here we are. We are the ones to judge them. We are the ones to tell them they don't qualify. We are the ones to look down on them, to trample on them, and to make their case worse. I speak that is not the fire of the Holy Ghost. When you love God, you will love the brethren. When you carry the fire, you will love everybody, no matter who they are. No matter where they are coming from, no matter the clothes and the things they are wearing, no matter how good or bad they may be, once they are in the house of God, let us extend the love of God to them and let us show them love. Love the brethren. Don't segregate, don't rule, and don't divide and rule, and don't make people your favorite and some none your favorite. Love everybody as Christ loved us. And as you do that, what happens is that the love of God is fully shared abroad among us. When was the last time you checked on somebody that is in church that you have never spoken before? When was the last time you picked the phone and called somebody outside church time to greet them and to find out how they were doing? When was the last time you were there to be for somebody who needed your help? When was the last time you even prayed for somebody that is a member of the church? Oh, the last time we come all clothed in ourselves, pumped and fed up, and we think that we are all that we survey. We carry our own issues and carry our own burdens, and we are submerging everyone of each other. We are all submerging. We are going down the pit without each one holding us together. But the Bible says that we should carry each one's burden. We are here to carry our burdens. The things I'm not so good at, I know you can help me. The things I cannot pray about, I know you can pray about for me. When I'm down, I know there's somebody to lift me up, not to condemn me, and not to make my case worse, not to talk to people about what is happening. But let us love one another. If you carry the fire of the Holy Ghost, you will love the brethren. You will love people. You don't live in isolation in church. You don't live alone. You belong to the household of God. Tell somebody, love the brethren. And I see that grace coming upon your life. You are loving more than you can handle. You are loving more than you can do. Receive the grace to love the brethren. In the name of Jesus Christ, receive the grace to love the brethren. Come on, shout it. I receive it. You can imagine everybody is sick here. Everybody, we are all work in progress. Tell somebody we are work in progress. Some of us, we suffer from mouth problems. Yeah, it's our mouth that has the problem. Yeah, amen. But let us find a way to help them heal rather than to destroy them. Receive the grace of God. Listen, if you know this, your life will never be the same. Am I talking to somebody? Quickly, before I close, let me land with this. How do you catch the fire? How do you catch the fire? How do you catch the fire? Are you getting blessed? You must understand that you must become an offering to God. You must become an offering to God. No sacrifice, no fire. No sacrifice, no fire. If you want to catch fire, be a sacrifice. Anywhere God sees sacrifice, his fire will fall. Anywhere God sees sacrifice, his fire will fall. If you want to catch the fire, be a sacrifice. Be a sacrifice. Tell somebody, be a sacrifice. You cannot catch fire without being a sacrifice. You cannot catch fire being a sacrifice. You cannot catch fire being a sacrifice. Praise the Lord. One of the first and foremost important things we need to know is to follow Jesus' example of his sacrificial life. Praise the Lord. Therefore, what is sacrifice? Sacrifice is a place of losing or depriving oneself for the sake of God and his work. Sacrifice is the place of losing or depriving oneself for the sake of God. Therefore, selfishness has no place in the fire of God. Selfishness. It is selflessness. Selflessness. Listen, it will take selflessness for us to see great move of God. There is no place you see people doing well. There's no place that you see things going well without the sacrifice of selfless people. If everyone is to think about themselves, we won't be here this morning. Are you here with me? If everyone is to think about their business and what they will get for themselves and family, nothing will work. But for us to see the move of God, the fire of God, people must deprive themselves of their self-comfort. Somebody has to wake up early 5-4 in order to get here by 7 o'clock for the church to start going. Somebody has to sacrifice for the fire to flow. The fire is not meant for lazy people. It's not meant for lazy people. If you are lazy here and you want to catch the fire, it won't come. You need to deprive yourself of certain self-benefits. Certain things that makes you too comfortable. Break away from it. Because without sacrifice, there can never be fire. Receive that in the name of Jesus Christ. It is the surrender of one's life to God for the sake of God and his work. You surrender your life and say, Lord, here am I. Use me for your glory. I have no power. I have no control of my own. I cannot do it on my own. I'm so helpless with myself. Help me, Lord. I surrender. I yield myself unto you. Listen, everything you are able to do is what God has done through you. Come on now. Everything that you are able to do is what God has done through. Can I talk to the choir? Can I talk to the ashes? Can I talk to anybody who works here? That anything that you have been able to do or you will be able to do is what God has done through you. Anything apart from that is selfishness. Are you here with me? When you stand here with the intention of trying to project yourself, trying to make people see you, trying to make people feel you, or just because you love singing, or just because you love to do what you're doing, it is not coming from God. But the sacrifice is that which you have surrendered your life and say, Lord, even as I'm going, I have nothing in my spirit. I have nothing in myself. I have no strength of my own. I cannot do anything by myself. Help me, Spirit of God. I prayed for that selflessness in your spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. As I said, we must follow Christ's example of sacrifice. Number one, what did Christ do? I'll not be able to give the scriptures now. He left his throne. He left his throne. When Christ sacrificed his life for us, he left his comfort zone. 1 Timothy 3:16, we are not reading. He left his comfort what? Sometimes you need to leave your comfortability. Listen, you don't come to church when things are convenient. That is failure. That is failure staring at your face. You are in church because all is well. No, you are supposed to be here all the time, whether good or bad. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. Come on now. Be conscious of it. That I will be in the presence of the Lord at all times. Leave your comfort zone. Push yourself a little bit. Let me tell you, the other day, Manuel was telling me that the things we teach here and the things that is making you is reflecting in his workplace. The other day, for a whole week, when he was sick, he couldn't go to school. When he went, the headmaster called him that when you are not in school, it's as if the school is closed. You can imagine one person. It's all because of the training, the things he's doing, the zeal he carries. When he gets to the school, it affects everywhere. To the extent that 1 week when he's not in school, the headmaster attests to the fact that when you are not in school, it looks like nothing is working. You can imagine. So we must leave our comfort zone. Jesus left his comfort zone. Let me tell you, if you really want to make it in life, stop pampering yourself. Stop pampering the body. Put yourself under pressure. In fact, the body is meant to be under pressure, so it lives. If you pamper your body, you will die early. Take it from me. If the body needs sugar all the time, needs sleep all the time, no exercise, nothing, the body gets weak and die. Put pressure on yourself. Do things that under normal circumstances, ordinary people will not do. But you project yourself to be better in doing things that you need to do. If all you know is to sleep 8 hours, 7 hours, is to sleep all day, even though you know you are not doing anything, listen, you are not helping yourself. Today you may not feel it, but listen, your time is ticking. Your time is ticking. The things you are supposed to do today, if you don't do them today, listen, it's going to affect you in your tomorrow. So don't think you have the time today. Start doing the things you want to do tomorrow. Start doing them now. Am I talking to people here? Look at me. I'm speaking to you. Are you here with me? Jesus left his what? His throne. The Bible says that he was God, but he didn't see himself to be equal with God. Humility. Tell somebody humility. Let me tell you, my prayer I'm praying for the choir, especially with Atiso, is that the more you go high, the more you see yourself down. Because let me tell you, people have done better than you are, but they are nowhere to be found today. Are you here with me? And this goes to every one of us. It was one of the king in those days, emperor, one of those who love literature, he made a quote that when the people say, hail him, hail him, hail him, that's when he sees himself going down. Because the same people who say, hail him, one day they are going to say that crucify him. Is there anything here? So when people are praising you, at the back of your mind, say, I don't deserve it. I'm not the one doing it. I don't qualify for this. Keep yourself humble. Be conscious of it. I'm not saying go and say me pacho say. Keep yourself humble at all times. Jesus did that as a way of sacrifice. Therefore, Bible says he became a man. Philippians 2:7. He became a man. Jesus became a man. And can you imagine what a degradation, what a lowering of standard, what a lowering of personality. You can imagine a whole God becoming a man. What is in man that God needs? What at all good is in a man that God would have to become a man? But for our sake, for his sacrifice, in order to save us, in order to deliver us, he had to become a man. Listen, learn to go down in life. If you don't go down, you are not able to go high. You are jump better when you go down. You jump better when you go down. Keep yourself humble at all times. Keep yourself what? Humble at all times. Listen, don't let the little you are receiving make you pompous, else that's the beginning of your fall. You think now you are getting, you are all that, you survey, you've done that, and you're okay. Hey! Listen, the secret is that the more you are being blessed, the more you must go down. So that the blessing will keep glowing. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he took the form of a servant. He became a servant. He's a son of God. Meanwhile, because he's a servant of God. He served. Let me tell you, nothing lifts men than service. Nothing lifts people than service. Nothing lifts people than service. Nothing lifts people. Don't ever, ever murmur. Don't ever complain when you have opportunity to do anything for God or for somebody. Service, it pays. It pays. Don't think about yourself. Don't think about your convenience. When you have to do anything for God, at night, be there. Service. You will not see the difference. You will not see it today. But in the long run, everything you did for God, you did for somebody, is going to pay off. Trust me. It's something that God doesn't forget. It's something God doesn't hold. Is somebody here with me? Therefore, he took the form of what? A servanthood. And then finally, he became obedient to the cross. He became obedient even unto the cross. Obedience makes you a selfless person. When you don't have your own opinion, yes, sir, master, whatever you say, I will go. Wherever you take me, I will go. Whatever you say, I will do. This is a heart of obedience.
We trust that you've been blessed with the word of God. We would like to have you worship with us at Miracle Manor Church, Top High, off Tech Junction Road, behind Love FM. Call us on 0244-991294 or 0209-959090. Miracle Manor Church, manna fed, manna satisfied.